I'd like to bring the scripture to you today. It's from Luke 8, 22 through 25. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and they set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, asking, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him."
Amen. As we think about the seasons of life, kind of a neat transition here, because Arn and Bev are kind of heading into a different season. But do you prepare? Are you prepared? Or maybe are you in, even now, a season we would consider a turmoil, a storm, something uneasy, something unsettled? Or are you preparing? It seems like there's maybe a couple of sets of people in here. One, you may be here today going through a storm. I get calls every week. "Pastor, can we meet together? Something tragic has happened in my life." It can be health, it can be finances, it can be, you know, relationships, all across the board. Maybe you're here today and things are going pretty well. You're saying, "I'm not in a storm." Prepare yourself, because storms happen. Storms unpredictably but inevitably happen to all. Number three, you may be here today and have already been through numbers of storms and are prepared for storms, but maybe you don't know how to help others, because those in your orbit, those that are around you, are inevitably going to go through a season of challenge, a season of storms. The scripture says, "Do not be surprised when things happen to you." Do not be surprised when adversity comes. Instead, it's the idea of being prepared. So this scripture that Renee read, that specifically deals with Jesus calming the sea, calming the waves, the wind, the storm, speaks to us, I think, in volumes today about how he would bring peace into our lives on a regular basis. Peace, be still, as he would say to the storm. As you notice in that scripture that that Renee read, think about some of the things that pop out in that scripture. Think of some things that would come to mind. First of all, have you noticed that Jesus is actually the one who led them into the storm? He said, "Come and get in the boat, because we're going this direction." Now here we are, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, who's in bodily form, and he says, "Get on this boat, let's head out. Let's go over to the other side of the lake." That's Jesus' quote. Now if a storm happens along the way, and they're obeying Jesus and his encouragement, his command, what do you make of that? How do you view that? Number one, storms are inevitable. Jot that down in your blanks there if you got a note to take. Storms are inevitable, and Jesus led them into the storm. Notice that they are not being disobedient when the storm happens. We are so prone, so often, to think that if we get adversity, if something's coming against us, we say, "Well, I must be going the wrong direction." No, exactly the opposite. You can tell you're going the right direction because it's uphill all the way. It's challenging. You know, what is coasting? It's going downhill, right? No. The adversity isn't come because they were not believing, just the opposite. They obeyed the Lord. They hopped in the boat. They took off. And that's when the storm came upon them. Is that making sense? So you've got to think, possibly, it must be in the Lord's will for them to go through a storm. We so often think that God has called us to be disciples and that everything is going to be laid out in rose petals, the rose-covered path. Everything's going to be fine, no adversity, no problem, no storm. Just the opposite is true. It was Jesus himself who said this. He said, I have told you in advance these things so that in me you may have peace. But in this world you will have, one version says trouble, another version says tribulation. You will have storms. You will have problems. I mean, that's a guarantee by Jesus. I've come to give you peace, but in this world you're going to have storms. But then he said, but be of good cheer. Be encouraged because I have overcome the world. Now that's the encouragement that's for all of us. Let me also point out to you that storms come suddenly and without warning. You may be sitting here today and go, Bruce isn't talking to me. That passage of scripture is not talking to me. Everything's just fine. You know, things could not be better in my life. Things are pretty good for them at this point. Okay? It came upon them suddenly. It came upon them without notice. It came upon them in a surprising way. That's why I think it's at times like this, if we're not in the midst of a storm, to get ready, because the storms always come. That's why Jesus guaranteed it. In this world, you will have storms. Are you ready for the inevitable? Look at that, what it says. He fell asleep, and a squall came down on the lake, so the boat was being swamped, and the people were in great or grave danger. You know, Sea of Galilee with these mountains around it, Brad could probably give us a geography lesson, but it seems like the winds would just start sweeping down, and these unexpected squalls often happened, and even seasoned fishermen, like four of the disciples, were fearful. It was tragedy. It was tragic. They were distressed. The disciples went and woke up the master saying, Master, Master, we are going to drown. We're going down. Help! See, Jesus was in the boat, asleep. They recognized him as Master. They went to him with the problem, but you know, later in the verse, we know that they don't really know who he is. In fact, what does it say? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Oh my gosh! I mean, they are surprised in recognizing who Jesus is and what he does and what he wants to do in our lives. Notice that it's, Jesus is about life and peace. He's the one who could stand in front of the storm and with his arms upraised say, peace, be still. And the wind, the waves, the squall calmed down instantly, immediately. That was the surprise. He commands the wind and the water, and they obey. That was nothing for Jesus. I mean, here he is, according to Colossians, he's the one who brought this world into existence. He's the one who created it with the word of his mouth. Well, why could he not, after speak and calm the waters, speak and calm the storm? Now, that's the kind of confidence. In fact, I got to ask you today, do you know him any better than they know him? I mean, they didn't have the benefit of reading this passage. We do. But I get the picture all the time. People are like, I don't recognize who's in my boat. I don't recognize who it is that's in my life that's wanting to encourage me and get me out of the storm and into a place of peace, pure peace for him. Who is it that's on board with you? In fact, I got to ask you that question. Is Jesus on your boat? That's the whole point about today, is asking, What is the course of your life? What's the direction that you're headed? And who is it that's directing? In this case, Jesus was directing, let's go to the other side. Okay? Is Jesus directing your life? Is he, as they said there, master? Is he Lord? Is he leader? Do you recognize him in that spot and for that? You know, if Jesus says we're going to get to the other side, you're going to get to the other side. Okay? Don't question God when he says, this is my will for you. Trust him. You will get through it. Like in the scripture when it says, and it came to pass, most of the stuff in our life has come to pass. That's the reason it's here. Jesus wants to get us to the other side, and asking ourselves that question, do we really trust him? Storms are inevitable. Jesus led them. The storms happen to believers and unbelievers. Storms hit suddenly and without warning. Jesus is about life and peace, and you will get to the destination if you trust in him and follow him. So as you think about this, the whole next few weeks, the whole next 5 weeks, we are going to ask ourselves a series of questions. We're going to ask ourselves, if the storms happen, what am I doing to prepare myself? Today we're talking about what's the course of your life. What's the direction you're headed? Next week we're going to talk about what's the center of your life. And we're going to focus in on worship. Worship is the center of who you are. God made you to glorify him and to love him forever. That's worship. What will be the community of your life? Now there we're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about fellowship. Who is it you're going to go through this storm with? Who are the journeymen, the fellow journeyers that you're going to take this storm on and go journey through life with? The community of your life. What's going to be the character of your life? Here we're talking about, as a disciple, reflecting Christ-likeness. We're asking you, what are you going to be like as you go through this experience, the storms of life? What's going to be the contribution that you make? You heard Renee talking about that from the standpoint of serving others. What has God gifted you to give away? When you get to them with the end of your life, and your life is over, and people are eulogizing you, what are they going to say about you and your contribution? We're not talking just about dollars. We're talking about service. We're talking about giving of yourself and your life. And on Easter, we're going to talk about what will be the co-mission of your life. So that leads us through the 1 week in February and the rest of the weeks of March, as we kind of ask ourselves these questions one by one by one. What will be the center, community, character, contribution, and commission in my life? What's God called you to do? So let's tear this apart even further. You've seen today this in the announcements. Meet the leaders lunch is today. But you can tell we're going right through those five things. See how worship is in the middle? What will be the center of your life? See how it says connect? What will be the fellowship or community of your life? See how it says over here grow? What's going to be the character of your life? See over there, what's the go? What's going to be the contribution that you make in serving him and letting others know about him? That's what we're doing. It's the basics of the Christian life and asking ourselves the question, how do we make it through and navigate with Jesus as our pilot? Because the storms are inevitable. They are coming. Are you ready? Let me share this verse with you from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Don't be anxious for anything. One version says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his blessings. Now look at verse 7. And the peace of God. That's what we're talking about today. How do you have the peace in the storm? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see what's going on there? A guarding of your mind and your heart is the peace of God. You know, when you step out of bounds on a soccer field, when you step out of bounds on the football field, when you go create an error in baseball, the referee blows the whistle or calls a halt. Same thing with the peace of God in your life. It will guard your hearts and minds. It's that idea of a referee. The peace of God is actually designed to be the referee in your life. If you feel the whistle of God, because you've gone out of bounds, you've lost the inner, ununderstandable, that transcends all understanding, peace. It blows the whistle on you. But when you're walking in God's course, in God's way, in God's path, it says it transcends all understanding. His peace is beyond perfect. It is the referee for us. You know, I mentioned up there at the top, the course that we have to have is a course that's determined by the Lord. Are you on track? Are you following His plan for your life and in your life? I meet with people from time to time whose lives are in storms. Occasionally, just recently, someone said, I was asking them about their spiritual life. I actually told them the parable about the sand and the rock, the house that was built on the sand and the house that was built on the rock. The rains came, the winds blew, one house went smash, one house stood. And then I asked, so what are you building your life on? What's the rock in your life? I said, I don't have one. I said, you know, if you had to list me, I'd be an atheist or an agnostic. It's like, I don't know how to help you. I want to help you. But the only pattern I know for life that's really going to help has to do with trusting God and getting on His course. I'll try to help all I can, but all the principles I know, the only ones that work in people's lives are when they get on track with the Lord. Without that, and it doesn't mean they don't experience storms, it means they weather the storms. It means they cruise through the storms. It means they help others through the storms. If you don't have a course by the Lord, I don't know what you do. I don't know what people do if you don't get to experience worship on a regular basis. Oh, how empty I would be. You know, we're so privileged. What do people in your office do if they don't get to take communion on a regular basis and cleanse their relationship? I don't know what they do. I couldn't imagine trying to go through life without that focus. Because that's the course. It's the only course that works. What do you tell your brothers and your sister, your family members, or the people you work with when they seek help in the midst of a storm? Follow the Lord. It's a course determined by the Lord, where He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Where He says, get in the boat and let's go to the other side. Then you're assured you're going to the other side. No storm can stop you. Look at this verse from 2 Corinthians 1:8. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We're talking about the Apostle Paul here, who's going through a storm. He says, the troubles that we went through, we were crushed, whoa. We were overwhelmed, whoa. Beyond our ability to endure, this guy's hurting. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. Most of us haven't been in that kind of storm lately, right? Listen to this. But as a result, We stop relying on ourselves and we learn to rely solely, only on God. You see, it's when the storms happen and all your dependence on yourself fades away, guess what? You rely on the Lord. It's a course determined by Him. He's the Lord who raised the dead, and He rescues us from mortal danger, and He will rescue us again. Look at this. And we have placed our confidence where? In Him. That's the only place. And He will continue to rescue us. The storms and troubles happen, but the result is that we stop depending on ourselves and relying on ourselves, and it's totally up to Him. So let me ask you, where are your eyes this morning? Who's determining your course? What is it that's your direction? And who's charting that course for you? Where are your eyes? You know, if you're controlling a ship, it's really important. Where is your course? And are you on track? Are you on course? That's the key question. The storms will come, but where are your eyes looking? What is your map? What is your compass? Who gets to tell you your direction? Can I just encourage you, if you're not yet following after the Lord, seek Him with your whole heart. Just today, in prayer, it is so easy to surrender your life and say, Lord, I'm done running my own life. I'm done relying on myself. I want to trust You, and what You say goes. Your leadership is the most important to me. Surrender to Him. It's not only a course determined by God, it's a course of growth. It's a course of growth. You see, problems didn't come randomly to just harm us. Just the opposite. God gave us problems to perfect us, to bring out, to grow us. Look what it says here. Galatians 3:4. You've experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? You know, you've been through some storms, some of us, some of you. We've all been through storms. Were those storms wasted? He says, I hope they were not wasted. He's actually given you places that you've gone through, storms that you've been through, so that you can grow and be stronger, that you can be, your character is shaped. God cares more about your character than He does about your comfort. You see this little storm in the middle of the sea where Jesus was asleep in the boat. It was a key growth time for those disciples. And they could have just been comfortable sleeping along with the Lord, but they were challenged. And out of the challenge came strength, came growth. And it could be that the rest of their life character was shaped right here in the storm. And now, isn't it wonderful? All the ways in which this distress has goaded you closer to God. Have you thought about that? Distress goading you closer to God? What terminology? I love that. You're more alive, more concerned, more sensitive, more reverent, more human, more passionate, more responsible. Looked at from any angle, you've come out of this with purity of heart. You're goaded closer to the Lord, and you have purity of heart as a result. I was thinking about this today. How many of you like Fuji apples? That's good. Yeah. Regular part of our diet. I was just thinking about apples today because I was thinking about this word that's in this verse from Isaiah 53. You know the verse. It's often used at Easter, Good Friday. It says, He was wounded, we would say on the cross, for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we were healed. You know, funny thing about apples. Oh. You know, a bruise on an apple is primarily internal. You know, you really can't see what I just did. Now, given time, what happens to a bruise if it's not dealt with? It gets rotten. Yeah, especially in, you know, we know fruit and how it works. Now, specifically, this verse says, he was bruised for our iniquities. And you think about it for a minute. Think about it for a minute. So much of what has happened in our lives is internal. You can't even see it in each other's lives. You know? I hear these stories. So many people hurting. So many storms. A young lady's growing up and a neighbor slips into her room and molestation happens. And a bruise takes place that goes way, way deep inside. She tells her mother and her mother doesn't believe her. It's even more damaging, more harmful. A couple come in and they explain to me what's gone on, and betrayal and infidelity and deep-seated bruising. Now you look at them on the outside, everything is fine. Guys come to me and they talk to me about the pornography addiction. Pastor Bruce, would you be my accountability partner? I need somebody who's got eyes where I've got eyes to help me out, because there is a bruise taking place in my life that is so deep and so hurtful that it is starting to rot. It's killing us. It's killing us. And yet the scripture points out his peace was for us. He wants to deal with, in fact, it says he was bruised for our iniquity. He wants to take any internal hurt that we've stuffed down and we've kept inside. Guess what he wants to do with that? Heal it. By his stripes, we are healed. The peace that comes, so many of the storms in our lives are because we've not dealt rightly with the problems, the needs, the hurts and hang-ups and habits in our lives. And he's calling on us. Let the Lord not only determine the growth, not only determine the course, but be the course growth for us. That means opening it up. That means allowing others. What happens if I put a bruised apple in the bowl with all the others and leave it for a couple of weeks? It not only gets rotten itself, but it infects the entire. That's what I see so often. The turmoil relationally is because we've not allowed the bruising that Jesus went through on the cross to take away and deal with the deep-seated hurts, hang-ups that we have in our life. Joseph said, you meant it for harm, but God meant it for good in order to bring about what you see. God's interest is in helping us. Maybe you've seen this praising him in the storm. We would be called on to let God heal us, even though storms are taking place. That's so difficult, isn't it? To praise God in the midst of a storm. Even when you say amen and the storm is still raging, how does that translate into praising him anyway? God's calling on you. He's calling on me to grow through the storm. It's not just what happens out there. What's key? It's what's happening through that storm. Through that storm. To us and in us. In fact, the third thing is it's not just a course from the Lord. It's not just a course of growth. It's a course for serving. It's a course for serving. Just to throw that on the table and say, it's not just what happens in me, it's what happens through me to others. Growth happens in me because of a storm, but he's eager to see what happens through you. You know, it's a course of serving. The troubles that you have gone through, those are the very things that God wants you to use to comfort others. He who comforts us in all our troubles, notice the word troubles, it's equal to storms, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from the Lord. Bear one another's burdens. And lastly, it's a course to take the gospel to new arenas, to advance the gospel. When we are going uphill, when we are going in advancing the gospel, it is not easy, but that's what he's called us to do. Stop being sedentary as a believer. Start letting the storms of your life advance the gospel and let it be proclaiming who he is in the midst of those problems and those needs. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what happened to me getting dragged into jail in Rome has actually served to advance the gospel. The worst things you would say, that's terrible, Paul. That's terrible. He's saying, no, in the long run, it advanced the gospel, so it was a good thing. The storm in his life became a challenge. So it's not just what happens in you, growth. It's not just what happens through you to others. It's what happens eternally because you're advancing the gospel. Instead, in everything we do, we show that we are God's servants and it lasts forever, enduring hardships, troubles, etc. Well, let me encourage you. Peace in the midst of storm comes specifically because we know what course we're on. We let God determine our course. We let the course cause growth inside of us. We allow that course to help us serve others. And we let that course and that storm actually be used for advancing the gospel. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for encouraging us, no matter what happens, no matter how, that you're excited to bring things in our lives that will cause us to grow and be more like you. Help us to respond to that, Lord. Help us to receive you as Master, Savior, Lord, and reflect the course that you've chosen for our lives. Lord, if there are bruisings that have taken place in our lives, if there are hurts that we've just not dealt with, Lord, help us so that we don't become rotten. Instead, we become changed, healed, and healers. Thank you for calling us to such a great and noble task. Thank you for loving us like you do. Thank you for giving us Jesus. We spend the next few minutes just worshiping Jesus, remembering his sacrifice and his love for us. It's in his name we pray.